back, folks, RBN listeners. This is the Tommy Crier Show. It is on every Saturday afternoon between 2 and 4 Central Time. Last week, Tommy called me up. You know, it was probably about Wednesday or Thursday and said, hey, do my show. I'm going to be busy Saturday. So he invited me to be his host today, and my name's Larry Beecraft. The first hour of Tommy had lined up Payman Motoheda to be his guest on. He was going to be on for this two-hour program today. And then sometime earlier this morning, about 11 o'clock, Payman calls me up and says, hey, I can only do 1 hour. So I've gone out and gotten, I just called on somebody I could ask to be a guest on this afternoon between this between 3 and 4, the final hour of the Tommy Crier Show. And I got a good friend of mine, Dane von Breichenbruchhardt, from the Bill of Rights Foundation in Washington, D.C. I was chatting with him earlier this morning, and he just happened to be available. So, Dane, are you on?
I am. I'm here. Hi. How you doing, Larry?
Well, hey, let's start off with this. We're going to have a commercial break coming up here in a little bit, but tell us a little bit about the Bill of Rights Foundation.
Sure. The Bill of Rights Foundation has essentially three facets. We are a public interest law firm, and it's a nonpartisan public interest advocacy organization that seeks remedies at law on targeted issues, you know, that contravene the Bill of Rights and the Constitution itself. And then we have the legislative side, and that's where we get on the Hill and try to have some influence about what's happening with these laws that they pass and the things that they put into the law, and also try to put some pressure on the executive. And then a lot of times we take things to court that we think legislatively are incorrect. And then we have the Bill of Rights Institute, which is our educational arm. This is it's aimed predominantly at high school and junior high school age people, although we do have a small adult element in it. And so those are the three facets, and the institute is under the foundation.
All right. Then the Bill Rice Foundation is located in Washington, D.C., right?
It is.
And every time I call you up, you're up on Capitol Hill talking to congressmen and trying to give your 2 cents worth on why a bill should or should not be passed. But that's an interesting topic that I want to kind of pass off into later on in the program.
Sure.
Dane, tell us about this lawsuit over gun rights in Washington, D.C.
Sure will. It looks like we're going to get a formal notice on the 13th. The court gave us a heads up that they're going to make their decision on the 13th. We're holding a large press conference. We expect what the case is all about is essentially there are about six folks here in D.C., and we and the Bob Levy of the Cato Institute is the man who put up the money for it. I was one of the architects of the design about how we go about it, and what we did is we essentially sued Washington, D.C. because of its draconian gun law. It actually bans all handguns from ownership, and on top of that, if you own a rifle or a shotgun, it has to be registered and kept in a particular place in your house, and it has to be broken down, and the ammunition and the gun have to be stored in separate places, and you can only take it with you out of the house with it being completely broken down and the ammunition laid aside. You're not allowed to assemble it in your home or to use it for any kind of self-defense. So what we're saying is that given the Second Amendment and our analysis of the Second Amendment is that it conveys a private right of ownership of firearms. It isn't, you know, this thing about it being a collective right is an oxymoron in itself. There is no such thing as a collective right. Better said, there are people who think that the ownership and possession of a gun has to be related.
Right. Hey, Dane, let me break you up. There's the music coming on. That means there's a commercial break. Hey, folks, stay tuned. We got Dane coming back after this commercial break.
Yeah. heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had 2 mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Well, folks, we're back. This is the Tommy Crier Show on Saturday afternoons, and I'm his substitute host today, Larry B. Craft. My guest is Dane von Breichenbruchhardt from the Bill Rights Foundation in, of all places, Washington, D.C. Dane, right before the break, you were giving us an update and giving us what we need, a summary of what happened in this case involving the Washington, D.C. gun laws. Can you pick up where you were, you know, telling us about what the D.C. gun laws provided for and how y'all attacked them?
I will. Back in the 70s, the District of Columbia wrote a law saying that no one could own a handgun other than an active-duty police officer and under certain circumstances, retired police officer of the District of Columbia only. And they grandfathered in a few guns that were registered, that were pre-registered before the 70s, but they're all gone now. So essentially, they outright banned handguns and banned the use of any gun for self-defense, is essentially what they did. We challenged that on Second Amendment grounds, and on top of that, the man that we are representing in this case, Mr. Heller, who is a special police officer, works for the federal government and carries a gun on duty. You know, to add insult to injury, here's a man who walks around in the Supreme Court building and the various judicial offices that surround the Supreme Court, carrying a gun all day long, protecting the lives of our judges and justices. But yet, when his shift was over, he had to turn his gun in before he went home because he's not good enough to save his own life, but he can save the life of one of these judges. So, of course, we saw the irony in that. And so to make sure that we had standing, I told my man, Dick Heller, and that's how the case is framed now. It's District of Columbia versus Dick Heller, where before the case was known as Parker, D.C. versus Parker, or Parker versus D.C., and now that we're the appellate, it's reversed, and of course now it's D.C. versus Heller, because Heller won. The other five people lost their standing because they didn't do what I had recommended all of them do, but Dick did it, and I told him, go down and try to register a handgun and get turned away, because I thought that that would secure our standing, and sure enough it did. And he's the last man standing. Everybody else was cut out. The court ruled that they did not have standing because they had not done enough, and the mere threat of being arrested was not sufficient for standing. They have some pretty tough standing rules here in D.C. So by Dick going down and trying to register his handgun and being turned away, it secured his position, and so now he is the only one being challenged. And we agreed, you know, the District of Columbia lost at the circuit level. They lost at the General District Court, and then they lost at the circuit, at the D.C. Circuit.
And then, tell our audience what the D.C. Court of Appeals held.
D.C. Court of Appeals held that it was an individual right to own a firearm, that it was not contingent upon being a member or even that the state even has a militia or doesn't have a militia, that it was totally unrelated, and that the controlling language of the Second Amendment was the second clause where it says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, was the controlling language, and that historically, if you look at what it says, and essentially the first clause is really not an instruction, it's a truism. It says, the necessity of the free
state. The militia clause.
I beg your pardon?
The militia clause.
Yeah, the militia clause. That's nothing more than just an utterance of affirmatively recognizing, because at the time that it was written, there was a big fear of standing armies, and they wanted in peacetime wanted only to have the militia. The militia was made up of the whole of the people. And they were expected to muster when called upon with their own firearm. And you go back and read the laws at the time, it says you shall muster with a weapon of the type and kind of the common use of the day and 17 rounds of ammunition. So, it's quite clear historically, any way you want to look at it, look at the utterances as well as the controlling language of the Founding Fathers. In many instances, it was quite clear that the ownership of a gun was recognized as much as owning a pair of shoes or your underpants. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I mean, they would have not even understood what this was all about. And, of course, what it is, a lot of proactive judges and lawmakers, try to torture the language to imply that it reads something else. So the lower court, circuit court ruled that it was an individual right, and that's the teeth of it. And so Mayor Fenty, who's the mayor of Washington, D.C., appealed it to the Supreme Court, but we agreed because we think that the circuit courts, where they're all over the place, and of course the district courts are all over the place, and we've had no guidance from the Supreme Court in over 70 years on this issue. The last definitive case was Miller.
Right, back in the 30s.
And that was very poorly decided. Miller never even showed up for arguments. His attorneys didn't show up because they didn't get paid. And, bad case law makes bad law all the way around. So we agreed. Supreme Court, usually when you win at the circuit court, you fight against going to the Supreme Court. But we are agreeing with Mayor Fenty, yes, the Supreme Court needs to hear this because we need guidance on this issue from the court, and I hope that the court, at least in a 5-4 split, I don't have much faith in the liberal justices on that
Ginsburg.
Court.
Ginsburg?
I beg your pardon?
Ginsburg?
Yeah, Ginsburg, Stevens, and I can't think of the other two.
Let's not worry about it. So So you prevailed at the Court of Appeals level, and so the city itself, Washington, D.C., has filed a cert petition with the Supreme Court and asked them to review the decision, right?
And we wrote an amicus for that. We agreed.
Yeah.
On our
okay.
side, we filed a brief telling the court that we agree with Mayor Finty that it does need to be heard. We don't agree with his arguments, but we agree that the Supreme Court needs to rule on this.
Now, how long ago was the decision from the Court of Appeals, and how long ago was the cert petition filed?
Cert petition was filed about 4 months ago. No, it wasn't 4 months. I take that back. About 2 months ago, the decision came down in the summer, and it was right before. I don't have my dates right in front of me, but it was around about July something that the answer came down from the circuit court, and
okay.
and then we filed for cert about a month or so ago.
Okay, so then that would have been first Monday in October. First Monday, you know, the Supreme Court's new term begins first Monday in October, so it sounds like to me the petition was filed before first Monday in October.
It was. Yeah.
And so we're kind of sitting here. It's kind of mid-November. We might have another month or two to wait before we get an idea of whether or not the Supreme Court's going to grant cert or not.
Oh, no. Supreme Court announced that it's going to it will be announcing whether it's granting cert or not on Tuesday the 13th.
Oh, okay. November the 13th?
Yes, sir.
You're kidding. That's
next
week.
Yeah, we will know next Tuesday, according to what we've been told by the court. And one of the reasons is that since we both agreed that we wanted the Supreme Court to hear this case, the rules are a little different. Normally, there are no ex parte conferences, and the court is not allowed to hear anybody else until they hear from us. But when both sides agree, the Supreme Court asked for the Solicitor General to make comments on the case. And I think they even went to the Department of Justice, who, by the way, the Department of Justice came down on our side. They agreed long before this case was heard that the Second Amendment conveyed a personal right to keep and bear arms, that it had nothing to do with any requirements of being in a militia or that a state even has a militia. So we've already got the imprimatur on this case from the Department of Justice.
Well, let me tell our listeners how to find that. Folks,
okay.
If you want to read that DOJ or a report on the Second Amendment, here's what you need to do. Go to one of your search engines on the Internet and type in Becraft Briefs, B-E-C-R-A-F-T, Becraft Briefs, like legal briefs, Becraft Briefs. And that'll carry you over to my website. And once you get on my main page, go down to I got a little section there on the gun laws. And I've got a link over from my website over to that DOJ report on the Second Amendment. So that's how people can read that report. So, hey, Dane, this is kind of news to me. I didn't know that there had been a date set when the Supreme Court was going to... That's next week, November the 13th. That ought to be a pretty good day.
It is. In fact, we're holding a press conference and everything in this instance. Now, normally they don't do that.
That's for sure.
And the reason why they gave us a heads up is because both sides agreed that the Supreme Court needs to hear this case. So since we both agreed and there's no conflict in the petition for cert, we object to the content of their cert, but we don't have a problem with it being certified on to the court so it can hear the case. And so they're a little bit more lenient on that, and they sent us the word that on Tuesday the 13th that they will announce their decision. Now, that's what they said, and this is kind of the first time I've ever experienced this, so I presume that they're right about it, because I asked one of the other attorneys, I said, do they normally do that? And he said, no, the only reason they did that is because we both agree that cert should be granted. And he says, I think what they're doing is that they know that how important it is for us to, you know, to be on this matter, the public interest and all. He says, I think since we both wanted cert on this thing that...
Well, it's also let's take it with... Hey, folks, we got a commercial break. Dane, stay tuned. You listeners, stay tuned. We got a break, and then we'll pick up with this after we come back from this commercial break. Stay tuned, folks. ¶¶
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
We're back from Far Beyond Listeners. Today, my guest is Dane von Reichenbruchart from the Bill of Rights Foundation in Washington, D.C. And before the break, Dane, we were talking about the very important case that the Bill of Rights Foundation mounted, the Heller case, Heller against D.C. They went up on appeal to the D.C. Court of Appeals and won on a Second Amendment issue. Now, Dane, right before the break, we were talking about what makes the conditions right now for the Supreme Court to take it. Let me throw in my two cents worth. You know, a couple of years ago, there was the Fifth Circuit in the Emerson gun case. The Fifth Circuit upheld the same position that the D.C. Court of Appeals held recently in the Keller case. So what we've had is we've had over the last 5 and 6 years the kind of the incubation process for important legal issues. The circuit courts, the courts of appeals, have rendered various decisions on this, and now you got a case from the D.C. Court of Appeals going up. And it sounds like to me that one of the reasons why the Supreme Court took this odd procedure, normally when you file for cert to have the Supreme Court, with a cert petition, all you're doing is you're asking the Supreme Court to take your case. There's some 3,000 or 4,000 cert petitions that are filed every year, and the Supreme Court takes less than 100, and so they sit there and pick and choose which cases they want to review. And because of what's happened over the last 5 and 6 years, you've had kind of a split in the opinions of the federal courts over the gun issue, and now that you got a favorable ruling from the D.C. Court of Appeals, I think all the Supreme Court did is said, hey, look, man, the conditions are ripe for us taking this case, and then they sent out a notice to the Solicitor General, and the Solicitor General is usually the guy that responds for the United States. All cases involving the United States that go up before the Supreme Court, he handles all the, all those cases before the Supreme Court. And then they sent a little notice over to DOJ, and DOJ said, yep, we're ready to submit a brief. So I think that what the Supreme Court was doing was testing the waters. Hey, Mr. Solicitor General, hey, DOJ, do y'all want to brief this case? Because you can bet that there's probably going to be 50 or 60 amicus curiae briefs filed at the same time. Is that your guess?
Oh, absolutely. They've already been filed. We've been notified. Every day we hear of another amicus coming through, and that's exactly what they did. They went to the Solicitor General and wanted to know if he wanted to argue on one side or the other, and he said, nope, just let it go. Let the city argue it on its own. The city has had to hire its own guns. Apparently they didn't trust going with what is the equivalent of their Solicitor General. They've hired a rather heavy-duty law firm here in D.C. to represent the city. But both the Solicitor General and the Department of Justice basically, you know, of course, they technically don't take a hard side in the case. They just simply say, no, we're not interested. The Solicitor General would not join with the city in their argument, and the Department of Justice is the same way. But DOJ is submitting a brief, and my understanding is it's consistent with when the past, not the very last one, but the Attorney General before Gonzalez is the one who basically wrote the standing brief for the Department of Justice, that the Department of Justice recognizes gun ownership as being an individual right. And my understanding is that the DOJ has essentially written a brief to that end and submitted it to the court. So the city is hanging out there all by itself. It doesn't have anything. The only thing it does have is that things like the Ninth Circuit and a few other circuits have come down on the other side of the fence saying that it's a collective right, whatever that is in their mind. There's no such thing. Rights belong to individuals. Power and authority belong to the state, and they're granted by the people in the first place. And the people who wrote the Second Amendment knew full and well that people expected to own privately owned handguns and rifles and pistols and shotguns, and it was expected that they would use them for their self-defense. So when it's really ripe for a case is when you have splits in the circuit. When the circuit, one circuit says one thing, another circuit says another circuit splits a baby. They're all over the place. And it's almost mandatory. I mean, it would be just astounding if they did not grant cert. And, of course, the way they're acting and posturing, they're going to take the case.
That's my conclusion. I didn't realize it was November the 13th. That's when we're going to find out, though. Have you heard anything from Stephen Halbrook?
No, he went the other route. They started out helping us, and then they broke away. And the next thing we knew, they were over at the NRA, and very disappointingly, the NRA, you know, suddenly when they realized, okay, you have to understand, me and Dick Heller went to the NRA years ago with this case, with the architecture of this case, and said, look, we can get a handful of people, we're going to file this way, we're going to do this, we do that, you know, will you back us? They turned us away. They turned us away. They said, no, you don't want us in there. Our name is radioactive in D.C. No, you don't want to do it. Go do it on your own. You have a much better chance. Sure enough, we go and file the case, and here comes the NRA with their folks, and they make the mistake, instead of filing against the city, they file against the very DOJ that just said that we had the rights to have. They sued the wrong people.
I don't know
what they were thinking. Of course, they were blown out of the saddle on standing long before that issue even came up with us.
Wow.
So they came in and got blown away in a heartbeat. And I'm a real pro NRA guy, and I love the NRA, but they just...
All right, hey, Dane, we got a commercial break. Folks, stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you have a high electric bill? Do you use an electric company that just provides you expensive electricity? Not anymore. Visit www.energy-swap.com and take advantage of a new way to save on your monthly energy bill. Allow Energy Swap to switch your provider and receive the same reliable service and the best rewards program in the industry. Save up to 20% on your electric bill. Rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. No cost to switch. Flat rate plans. Reward program. What more could you ask for? A free gift. Try Energy Swap and receive a free getaway for two. Sign up today. 888-238-6397. That's 888-238-6397. Visit our website, www.energy-swap.com, and use the tool generator to calculate how much you can save on your monthly energy bill. 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Folks, we're back. This is the Tommy Crier Show this afternoon. I'm the substitute host, Larry B. Craft. My guest in these waning moments of the second hour of this program is Dane von Breichenbruchart from the Bill Rights Foundation. We've been talking about one of his foundation's lawsuits that they've been involved in, the Heller versus City of Washington, D.C. case involving gun rights. So, Dane, right before the break, you were on the point of how the NRA was on the other side.
No, not the other side. They just they saw us getting traction and realized, oh, my God, we're missing out on this thing. And then they came in and they tried to join the two cases together. And it cost us a lot of money. It cost us huge loss of time. They got in the way, and I'm sorry to have to say it, they made an ass of themselves. And they blew it. They got blown out of the water on standing right off the bat, mainly because they went after Ashcroft, and he's the very guy who was on their side. They misfiled their arguments were non sequitur. They made huge numbers of mistakes, and I'm sorry to have to say it. I'm not going to condemn the whole NRA. I'm just saying that those people who tried to come in on this case and muscle their way in on a case that we had rolling along after we offered this thing to them to join us. Yep. In the beginning, and they turned us down. And then when, you know, they I guess it was a combination of jealousy and ego and probably looking like they got egg in their face with their constituents and their members, probably wondering, well, where in the hell were you on this thing? So, you know, I mean, clearly, you know, I don't think they thought we were going to do anything with it, and we surprised them because we did do something with it. And when they saw us being so successful, they came in and tried to muscle their way in into our case and to get linked up together, and it caused us nightmares and headaches and good riddance that they're
okay.
Gone. So,
hey, Dane, we've got a caller. Let me just ask one real quick question before we take your caller.
All right.
What about Larry Pratt?
Oh, Larry Pratt's golden. He is just golden. I mean, this is a man, you know, he's matured, quiet, calm, dead down the center. I mean, they don't come any better than Larry Pratt. I'll tell you.
You got that right.
Out of all the gun organizations, Larry Pratt has got to be the supremo of them all.
Very good. So, hey, having said that, let's take our caller, Manny.
All righty.
So, have we got a caller on the line?
Hello, Larry.
How you doing? Who is this?
This is Jim from, right now I'm in Oak Grove, Missouri.
Well, how you doing, Jim? Welcome to our program this afternoon. What can I do for you?
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. Will this ban that's being struck down affect the people that want to carry guns on school campuses, particularly the Virginia Roanoke massacre? That's what I've got in mind.
Well,
how's that going to affect those bans?
Well,
I can sort that out for you real quick. First of all, bear in mind that right now, the Second Amendment is not an incorporated right. No, it's not binding against the federal government yet. It is binding against the federal government. It's not binding against the states yet. It will be. After we finish this case, then we're going to file in a regular state, not in the District of Columbia. This is a technical thing. I don't want to waste any program time on. But here's the thing. The state of Virginia, like 40-some other states, passed concealed carry laws. Here's the problem. After they passed the concealed carry laws, different municipalities within the state started saying, well, wait a minute. We don't want these people who've been licensed by the state for concealed carry to come on a playground or to go to a school or to go into a restaurant that serves liquor and this. And they started carving out all these exceptions, almost to the point in some areas, and particularly Roanoke is the worst. And by the way, that newspaper in Roanoke, you know, ought to close up shop and go home. They're the most ridiculous people I've ever seen in my life. But I can tell you that what they're trying to do is to make the concealed carry law to be so draconian and so ridiculous, you literally from block to block as you drive down the street, depending on whether you come into a school zone or a church zone or you're within 20 feet of a federal building or a state office building, you know, the gun comes out of the holster, goes back in the holster, comes out of the holster, goes back in the holster. It's just ridiculous. If you have a concealed carry permit, it's just like being a police officer. You've been checked out. You ought to be able to carry it anywhere you want to go. But since these things at the state level right now, the states are having to deal with that on a state-by-state basis. And in Virginia, they're having their problems, but the Northern North Virginia Defense League, I think that's what they're called, which is the pro-gun group in the Northern Virginia area, they've been very active fighting these things down. And eventually I think we're going to be okay. But even though now when we finally – I'm projecting ahead that we will prevail in the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will say that the ownership of a firearm is an individual right. But since this is in a district and not in a state, and since the Second Amendment has not yet been incorporated as one of the incorporated rights, then what we need to do is to immediately go into a state using the findings of the Supreme Court. And then what we'll do is that we will declare those rights in the states and get the Second Amendment incorporated. And therefore, the rules on infringement become far more lax and things will move in our favor much better. So eventually, it will have a tangential effect on concealed carry, yes.
Well, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does, Larry. Got one other quick comment.
Go ahead.
I am deeply suspicious of jurors in Georgia right now. Have a good day. Thank you.
Me too, and stay tuned. There's more on that issue coming up.
Thank you.
I mean, not in this program, but stay tuned for that case. Don't let it go away.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
Have a good one.
I hope you catch my drift, too.
I do.
Okay. So, Dane, let's get back to it. Hey, let's shift over. We only got another 20 minutes, and that'll be real short. We're really going to have about 15 minutes airtime here. Tell us about what's going on Capitol Hill.
Well, on Capitol Hill, it's a combination of all of the worst things. It's like a perfect storm. Congress, first of all, everybody thinks we've got a two-party system. We don't. We got a three-party system. We got the Republicans, then we got the Blue Dog Democrats, and you got the Yellow Dog Democrats. And they're so different, they might as well be a different party. The problem is they told us that, boy, get the Democrats in here and we'll fix some things. We're going to fix up all this stuff, and we're going to stop this president from stripping all of our rights and all of this unitary presidency foolishness and everything. And they can't even seem to get out of a paper bag. They end up fighting among themselves. They can't turn anything around. Every time a major issue comes up that they claim that they were going to reform, they can't get enough people on both sides. The Yellow Dog and the Blue Dog Democrats cannot come together on anything. And the Republicans are still in charge, and they're still getting their way. And the president is still claiming, you know, to be King George. So I tell you, I learned my lesson up on the Hill in D.C. Believe me, we have a three-party system.
Well, things Dane, I don't think most of our listeners, and certainly I don't, we don't like the course and direction that this country is headed. You know, we can see that, you know, our lives are not going to improve over the next 10 and 15 years, and they're certainly going to be worse for our kids and grandkids. Are we to give up all hope about battling on the legislative front?
Well, I don't want to say give up all hope, because I think people should have hope to their last breath, because I think having hope is a quality. You don't want to be unrealistically optimistic, but you can always have hope, and never let go of hope. I mean, even if it looks like you're going down with the ship, just have hope. I just think that's a quality we should not abandon. But I'm going to tell you, it's a perfect storm. Perfect storm in the fact that, first of all, you know, one of the biggest things, Larry, and you and I have talked about this before, you know, we live in a false economy. These Federal Reserve notes are not money. The United States government stole our money when they formed the Federal Reserve Bank system. We don't have anything backing these Federal Reserve notes. They're nothing. There's nothing behind them, and they print them like toilet paper. The Federal Reserve doesn't even report it anymore. They make up money electronically. They don't even have to print it. They make it up electronically. And they print it, like I said, like toilet paper. Nobody knows how much of it is out there floating around, but I can tell you the people who've invested in this country, the foreign debt that we owe, and you notice yesterday was the mark. We went to a $9 trillion national debt. But let me tell you something. We're not $9 trillion in debt. We are 50-some trillion dollars in debt. Because if you, for instance, if you got a home and you've mortgaged the home and you owe $100,000, it's a $200,000 home, let's say you've paid it down and you the principal that's left is $100,000, you don't say, well, I'm $100,000 in debt. You're much more than that unless you're ready to pay the loan off right now. If you're ready to walk out to the bank and lay $100,000 on the counter, that's the only way that you can say, I'm $100,000 in debt on this house, is I'm getting ready to pay it right now. But they're not. It takes years to pay down $100,000 on a house, and it's going to take us years. And by the way, it's too late. Do the math. Take $9 trillion and divide it by 300 million. You come out with $38,000 a head. That includes every idiot, child, baby, you know, that's every breathing human being that's standing on the ground of the United States of America owes $38,000.
Even the illegals?
No. I'm discounting the 300 million citizens that we say we have. And by the way, the illegals are adding to our debt.
Yes.
Because they're using our services and our education. They're not paying their taxes. They're being paid under the table. They're using false Social Security numbers. Nobody can keep count of it. You know, and so we've got that perfect storm going. Now the other perfect storm we got going on is that now we got Pakistan over there, who we were in bed with, and we keep getting in bed with the wrong people. They're falling apart, and they're supposed to be helping us with this Al Qaeda problem. And so now all the attention is turned away from that. At the same time, Iran is now trying to build nuclear weapons. And, you know, of course, they claim that they're doing it for energy. Well, they are, but they're also have got a whole lot of plutonium that they're making. And of course, they want the bomb, just like all the other countries over in that region, you know, want the bomb. India and Pakistan and Israel and all the others. So we got that as a part of the perfect storm. Now, after 9/11, we got a president who wants to just say, I can do anything I want to do under the guise of protecting the nation. And so what he's done, he's declared an unwinnable war, a war that goes on every day, and the battlefield is everywhere. It's ubiquitous, you know. And so anybody can be picked up. Anybody can be renditioned. Anybody can lose their habeas corpus rights. So here you've got the executive of the government claiming the rights that go beyond, and every bill he signs, there's a signing statement that he says, but except for, you know, this presidential right or that presidential right or this presidential right. And, you know, and by the way, I'm not knocking good Republicans. Let me tell you something. There are some strong Republican organizations in this town who are embarrassed about that guy. And I mean hardcore right-wing Republicans just shake their heads in embarrassment of this president. And the sooner he's out of here, the better.
Okay. Hey, Dane, we got a caller. Let's take it, okay?
Right.
Manny, have we got him on? I hear we've got a caller on the line.
Yeah, this is Ferris in Oklahoma.
How you doing?
Yeah, doing fine. Glad to talk to both of you gentlemen.
You got a question?
I had a whole thing, but your guest there just had such a great exposition about what's going on. I want to know, does he have a website and a place I can go on my internet?
Answer the question, Dave.
Here's what we did. We had a website, and here's the problem, is that we are not a membership organization. And what happened is that when we had the website, we just thousands and thousands of hits and people contacting us. And the problem is that when you go on the website and you're not a member-based organization, the two don't work very well together, because I found that 99% of all of the responses were that they were under the assumption that we were a membership organization, and we're not. We are a closed corporation, And we do not operate from a membership, mainly because of the legal issues that we deal with. It just doesn't work out. We're not a think tank. We are a public interest law firm, first of all. Secondly, we are a legislative. We say that we lobby. We don't lobby for any clients. We have no clients whatsoever. We have people who send us money and support us. But we don't have clients. We don't represent clients when we go on the Hill. We make it very clear that we lobby for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and we educate. When we go into these offices, we sit down with them and we show them where a piece of legislation that's being introduced or that's working its way through the system, we point out where we see problems. We don't say don't pass this bill or do pass this bill. We just simply say, if you want this bill, you got a problem here, you got a problem here, you got a problem here, and we explain to them where the problems are. And then, of course, the educational part of it is funded by donations as well. So we just found that right now having a website and it sent the wrong signal. Because the kind of stuff that we do up here, as I said in the beginning of the show, we take very specific aim at very targeted issues. We pick them out and go after them. And when you have a constituency of people, of members, you know, people call in, they want you to do different things, you have to satisfy your constituency and all, and we can't do that. The way we work, we have to go lean and mean. So we close down the website, but we do have an email address, but we ask that it be used. We get inundated. We get literally hundreds of emails a day, and most of it just gets erased because it's just people calling and griping about the very things that we know that, you know. But if you have business with the Bill of Rights Foundation and you need to talk to us, you would email us at, email me personally, Dane, D-A-N-E, at usbor.org.
Could you hold me over just right after the break? I got one more observation.
Sure. Hold on. Folks, we got one last commercial break, and then we'll come back for the closing of this show. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Folks, we're back. These are the closing moments of the Tommy Cryer Show on this mid-November fall afternoon. We got our caller in. You said you had one more question before we close the show.
Your guest there is talking about, you know, under these executive orders that they've signed, that old Bush signs, gives himself the power. They can declare anyone an enemy combatant, or which is basically saying you're an enemy of the state. and you can disappear, and nobody will ever know where you went. Now, let me tell you one thing that I've, and I'm probably on a list somewhere whenever they decide to do that. I'll tell you why. I wrote a letter to my local Deacon newspaper, and they never did. They haven't printed it so far. I wrote it about a week ago. I emailed them. And I was protesting. Our county sheriff has decided, and he said, this is going to be a fact of life and get used to it. Every weekend, during the weekends, he's going to set up at night between 4 p.m. and 4 a.m. at about 12 different locations in our county, checkpoints to stop people. DUI checkpoints, they call them, you know. And they justify these in the name of public safety. They say, well, you know, well, of course, the people get in lines, and they're up, and all they are is they're fishing. And that this is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. They don't have probable cause.
Yeah.
They are denying. Look, I'm out a citizen regularly doing my business, and if you try to get around them, they'll apprehend you. They'll go grab you, you know.
Yeah, you know, all of that started with Heibel, when in Heibel versus was Utah, I think it went to the Supreme Court. This is where they said that you no longer have the right to remain silent. It's kind of ridiculous because Heibel, Mr. Heibel was standing on the roadside talking to his wife up by his mailbox on his farm. She was getting ready to go into town. He walked out to get the mail. She drove out, was getting ready to go to the farm, and they were chatting with each other, and here comes a state trooper pulling up like they'd done something wrong, and he got out and he started questioning Heibel, wanting to know his full name and date of birth and Social Security number and address and, you know, all this kind of stuff, and he refused to answer. So he was arrested under a state law that says that you have to answer these questions, and he said, no, I have the right to remain silent. I don't have to put up with this cop. And sure enough, they all went up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, yep, you do have to say it. And I always loved the cartoon that came out of that. It's the first picture of the cartoon is a police officer, and he's talking to this man, and he says, the Supreme Court says that you have to tell me your full name, address, Social Security number, and all this kind of stuff. And the next frame, the guy just remains silent. There's no language. And, says, and then in the third frame, it says, the cop says, all right, you're under arrest for not giving me the information I asked you for. He says, you have the right to remain silent. Anything that you say will be used against you. And, of course, the guy in the picture is kind of looking out at the reader, you know, with this bewildered look on his face, you know.
Yep.
Well, do I have a right to remain silent or don't? And this is the craziness that's going on. I mean, this is a low-level thing. The Heibel case is kind of low-level. But this is the kind of mentality that this federal government is using all over the place, and they're federalizing everything.
And hey,
We used to have four federal crimes when we formed the country. We now have over 4,000 federal crimes.
Hey, Dane, I hate to, you know, guys, the end of the hour has struck. I want to thank you both for being on this program, especially you, Dane, and thanks for calling in on this program.
Sure.
Folks, this is the end of the program. This is all the time that is allotted for the Tommy Crier Show. So come back next Saturday. Remember, every Saturday, 2 to 4 Central Time on RBN, you have the Tommy Crier Show. And then also, since I'm the substitute host, I have a radio program. It's called the Larry Beecraft DV Kids Show, and it's on also on Saturdays between 9 and 10. Dane, have you got any final comment you want to make before we sign off for the day?
Yes. Do not let your congressman let his head hit the pillow each night until he has heard from you. You have got to know who your congressman is. You have to